Amplifying your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
There can't be no justice if there ain't no peace. Come on, sing it. There can't be no justice if there ain't no peace. Come on, Kevin. There can't be no justice if there ain't no peace.
Hold on.
Sean,
let me play the real thing. Hold on just a second.
What? That was the real thing.
Yeah, here's what you're trying to do.
You actually have the real thing?
Yes.
All right, cut. Well, no. That's enough. That makes me sick to my stomach.
That's bubblegum.
If you would like to go ahead and announce who that was, and then I'll tell you why we opened up with that. It's really disturbing.
It's Prince, or whatever he calls his name today.
And this is for a Baltimore. It's the thing. It's that onyx symbol guy. This is for the Baltimore rally, and part of what he is talking about and what they're rallying about, and he sings in the song is they want to take all guns away. Prince says that in the song.
Mm.
In addition to taking all of the guns away, what they also want to do is they want you to pray for Michael Brown, and they go into to singing about there can't be no justice if there ain't no peace. Let me tell you something. Michael Brown got exactly what he deserved, deadened, because he was trying to kill a police officer. Now, first, let me say this. Happy Mother's Day. I'm going to get that out of the way first because I'm about to get kind of upset here opening up the program today. So I want to welcome you to the program. Happy Mom's Day to all you moms out there and you dads who are acting like moms too. That's a tough job. I know that. And I know some single fathers. So happy Mother's Day to everybody. I hope you had a great day. Welcome to the program. I am live from West Bend, Wisconsin, where I've been attending the first annual U.S. Concealed Carry Association's CCW Expo. For all of you goofy, dopey, progressive liberals, CCW is concealed carry. I know that scares you. Let me just get that out. We've got a huge program lined up for you today from here at the USCCA World Headquarters in West Bend, Wisconsin. More on that shortly. First, I am, as I said, beside myself again, and I have no choice but to open this program today with what many of you will probably call a rant. So I leave the exhibition hall where we were at the expo today. I leave a little bit early in time to do some final preparation to talk with you today here on Armed American Radio. And an article catches my eye and almost makes me sick to my stomach. I saw it first on Fox News, followed it on a couple of other sites just to get some informations. The information is all the same. The headline reads, three arrested in murders of two Mississippi police officers during traffic stop. This was published yesterday with an update today, and it was updated just recently. There have been four arrests. Remember, there can't be no justice if there ain't no peace. Remember that. Remember hearing that and hearing Prince sing that. Mississippi's governor is stating that his state is, and I'm quoting now, in mourning today after the shooting deaths. And I'm paraphrasing now from the Fox News piece of two police officers Saturday gunned down during a traffic stop in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Mm. Two officers, 34-year-old Benjamin Dean, who had apparently stopped an Escalade, a 2000 gold Cadillac Escalade, in what is being referred to as an industrial part of the city near about 8:30 p.m. Apparently that vehicle was occupied two times. He asked for backup, and a 25-year-old officer, LeCorey Tate, arrived to help him out on that call. Shots were immediately fired, and both officers were felled.
Mm.
In what can be stated in the only way I can say it is absolutely sickening, apparently a Hattiesburg, Mississippi resident, Tamika Mills, was quoted by the Clarion Ledger. I'm assuming that's a local paper. This is what bystander Tamika Wills told the local paper. Again, paraphrasing from the piece, she said that seeing the officers down was shocking and heartbreaking. I would add sickening and gut-wrenching to that as well. The shooting committed by two individuals by the name of Marvin Banks, 29, a thug, and Joni Calloway, 22, also a thug. Excuse me. Maybe we should call Joni Calloway a thuggette, if that will make the politically correct feel a little better. Both of these thugs, Al Sharpton, Mayor Kimberly, whatever your hyphenated name is in Baltimore, thugs, T-H-U-G-S, Ms. Baltimore, D.A. Mosby, maybe they've, you see, now they've been charged with two counts of capital murder. Mm. Apparently Banks, the 29-year-old, was also charged with, get this, this will be sure to shock you armed American radio listeners. He was charged with one count of being a felon in possession of a firearm.
Wow.
How's that gun control working out for you? How about that? Because you see, in addition to murder being already illegal, so is being a felon in possession of a firearm already illegal, you see. Maybe, Shannon Watts, we can make a new law that makes it double illegal. Maybe then criminals will start paying attention to double laws. How about that? In addition, another stomach-churning detail to this story, after shooting both officers, apparently the suspects, or one of them anyway, fled in the police cruiser, leaving the two mortally wounded officers on the pavement. Nice guy. Apparently Banks's 26-year-old brother, another thug, I guess his name is Curtis Banks. How about we spell that one for you, too? T-H-U-G, thug, was charged with, I understand, two counts of accessory after the fact for the murder of two police officers in cold blood. A 24-year-old man, young man, 1 year out of the academy, and his 34-year-old counterpart never coming home to their wives and children, their extended family, ever again, dead today. Yesterday, actually. At the hands of criminal thugs. Children now forced to remember daddy by a photo. And remembrances from their mother. Mere memories, these men. Unbelievable. And to think there are thugs across America cheering these deaths today. And you know what? They've been emboldened by statements made by Obama, Sharpton, de Blasio, and other haters and baiters. Where are you, you vile, despicable Al Sharpton? This man has access, let me clear this up, he has unfettered access to the White House. That ought to tell you unequivocally everything you need to know about Barack Obama, by the way, that Al Sharpton has a key to the Oval Office. Where are you, Baltimore Mayor? Where are you, Ms. Attorney General Lynch? I hear crickets, Sean.
Oh, yeah.
Are they rioting? I'm sorry. Are they uprising? Isn't that the term now? In Hattiesburg, Mississippi today? Tomorrow? Are the National Guard being called out for rampaging and looting? This was sent in by a listener earlier this week, and I read this on the Daily Defense Show last week. I believe it's befitting now more than ever. So I'm going to read it to you now, and it's very difficult to hear, but it needs to be said. It's titled, "I Was a Police Officer. Today, I will not answer the radio call that your boyfriend has come home drunk and is beating you again. Today, I will not answer the call that your 16-year-old daughter, who is very responsible, is 4 hours late coming home from school. Today, I will not answer the radio call that your store has been robbed or your house has been burglarized. Today I will not stop a drunk driver from killing someone, maybe you. Today I will not catch a rapist or a murderer or a car thief. Today I will not answer the radio call that a man has a gun or tried to abduct a child or that someone has been stabbed or has been in a terrible accident. Today I will not save your child that you locked in a car or the child you were too busy to watch who went outside and fell into your swimming pool, but that I revived. No, today I won't do that. Why? Because today I was killed by a drunk driver while I was helping push a disabled car off the highway. Today I was shot and killed during a routine traffic stop to simply tell someone that they had a taillight out. Today I was killed in a traffic accident rushing to help a citizen. Today I was shot and killed serving a warrant on a known drug dealer. Today I was killed by a man when I came by to do a welfare check because his family was too damn busy. Today I was killed trying to stop a bank robbery or a grocery store robbery. Today I was killed doing my job. A chaplain and an officer will go to a house and tell a mom and a dad or a wife or a husband or a child that their son or daughter or husband or wife or father or mother won't be coming home today. The flags at many police stations were flown at half-mast today, but most people won't know why. There will be a funeral, and my fellow officers will come. A 21-gun salute will be given, and taps will be played as I am laid to rest. My name will be put on a plaque on a wall in a building in a city somewhere. A folded flag will be placed on a mantle or a bookcase in a home somewhere, and a family will mourn. There will be no cries for justice. There will be no riots in the streets. There will be no officers marching, screaming, no justice, no peace. No citizens will scream that something must be done. No windows will be smashed. Only someone crying themselves to sleep tonight will be the only sign that I was ever cared about. I was a police officer. I was a police officer. Why don't you sing about that, Prince? Why don't you sing about that, Prince? Instead of Michael Brown. We'll be back.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to DefendFamilyNow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit DefendFamilyNow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant. Often imitated, but never duplicated, the Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Carrying spare magazines is always a great idea. The Crossbreed holster outside the waistband mag carrier is the most comfortable OWB rig on the market today. The Crossbreed mag carrier provides great retention and a high ride, enabling total concealment and immediate access under only a light cover garment. Available for single or dual magazines, these incredibly comfortable magazine carriers may just save your life one day. Crossbreed holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. To order your Crossbreed mag carrier, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
We'll
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
SAF.org, one of the greatest organizations in the world, an organization that needs your help, funding, lawsuits across the country on your behalf. We're going to be talking to the great founder of the Second Amendment Foundation and a good friend of mine. That means he's a good friend of yours. That's Alan Gottlieb. In just a minute, I want to wrap up quickly the previous segment and welcome some folks here to the Armed American Radio mobile studios at the right. We've relocated the show to the Armed to the United States Concealed Carry Association's world headquarters in West Bend. And sitting to my right, you'll hear him chime in with commentary from time to time. He's been on the program before. You know him as the editor, the ornery editor that can yell at me when my work isn't on time. Kevin Michalowski, how are you?
It's always great to be here. Thanks. Ornery editor. I get another, ornery, you know, another
that's
new
your
label.
That's your new label. The ornery editor, Kevin Michalowski, is here. And we'll bring you some fun guests later in the next hour of the broadcast who drove great distances to attend the U.S. Concealed Carry Association Concealed Carry Expo, the first annual, and we'll let them tell their stories. Sean, I want to wrap up that previous segment.
Mm-hmm.
I am disgusted. I'm sickened to my stomach about that story.
Yeah.
And about those police officers. It is, and to hear Prince and others like Morgan Freeman and the rest of these loudmouth, dopey, progressive, liberal haters. I can't think of any other way to describe this, who are part of the lyric in that song. We certainly don't have enough time to play it, nor do I want to let, I don't want it on my airwaves, quite frankly.
Yeah.
As they talk about, you know, do you hear us pray for Michael Brown and Freddie Gray? Michael Brown was a criminal who knocked off a liquor store, who tried to steal a firearm so that he could do to that officer in Ferguson exactly what these thugs did to the two officers in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. He was trying to murder that police officer. And we are at a place in America today where Prince sings a song about him. What's happened to us, Sean?
I don't know, but you know, one of the questions that I do have is, who's going to hold up the sign that says Police Lives Matter?
I'll do it.
Kevin, that's to my right.
I mean, well, yeah. I think I might actually put that on back in my van because everybody's life matters. I mean, but who's going to have
Alan
that
Gottlieb. Let's go to Alan Gottlieb and bring you. Alan, welcome to the show, my friend. Such a pleasure to have you here all the time. How are you?
Great, Mark. Sorry I couldn't be with you guys at your convention there, so to speak. It sounded like it was really great.
It was record-setting, but it was for
a first expo. Wow, it was incredible. We had a great turnout, not only of vendors, but we've got people from all across the country, and we've got several of them here in the studio tonight who dropped in from places as far away as New York and Nevada, and there were people from Pennsylvania and Ohio and Kansas. They all stopped in because of what we do and because we're doing the right thing. It was mm-hmm. wonderful.
Yeah, it really was. Alan, you were missed.
Yeah, we were one of your exhibitors, and unfortunately I couldn't make it while we had staff mm-hmm. there. I was unable to attend. Maybe next year.
Well, that's a gimme for sure. Alan, are you familiar with the story of the murdered police officers? Am I wrong to be as upset about this as I am? It's stomach churning to me to hear stars talking about the criminals instead of these officers who are not coming home today. It makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, it makes me sick to my stomach too. But I guess just like you, neither one of us are surprised by it. The other side does this stuff all the time, so it's their MO, so to speak, and they just don't care that blue lives matter too.
Yeah, it is really, really disturbing. I don't know, Kevin. I guess it's just something we're going to have to learn to deal with.
Well, I just absolutely hope that these officers didn't hesitate because they had seen the news coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's not mm-hmm. what happened to them, that they were wondering, what are people going to say if I use the appropriate level of force to stop this action?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if police start doing that because of the news coverage, we're going to be in serious trouble.
That's true. Yeah,
you're absolutely right about that. Alan, we'll move on to the topic at hand and why you're on the program. We are waiting for Cody Wilson to call. Sean, if you would, I'll see him pop up on a screen. If I miss that, if you would let me know if he calls in, I'd appreciate it.
All right.
Alan, the Second Amendment Foundation, at it again, having the backs of freedom-loving Americans. If it's okay, I'd like to read a story that appeared on Wired.com that you had sent to me originally, and has gotten tremendous coverage. And I want to turn it over to you to explain. It's a little bit complicated on the surface. So let me start out by setting it up with this. 3D printed gun lawsuit starts the war between arms control and free speech. This week marks the two-year anniversary since Cody Wilson, the inventor of the world's first 3D printable gun, received a letter from the State Department demanding that he remove the blueprints for his plastic printed firearm from the internet. The alternative faced possible prosecution for violating regulations that forbid the international export of unapproved arms. Now Wilson is challenging that letter, and in doing so, he's picking a fight that could pit proponents of gun control and defenders of free speech against each other in an age when the line between a lethal weapon and a collection of bits is blurrier than ever before. Alan, can you explain the correlation and give us the beginning, really take us in depth in how this all came about?
It is a very complicated suit, and it is hard to explain, so I understand where you're coming from on this. But what you just said set it up pretty well. The Wired magazine story is accurate there in that Cody made this the first printable 3D firearm, and then the government told him he had to take the plans, put it off the internet. He was doing it as freeware, so to speak, that anybody could download the plans and make their own gun with a 3D printer. And we have a regulation in this country that goes on that deals with the International Traffic in Arms Regulations, known as ITAR. And so the government is claiming under ITAR you can't put the plans for this up on the internet because anybody around the world can take the plans down and make a gun. And so we view this as a First Amendment right infringement on free speech on the internet, as well as a Second Amendment abridgment, as well as a Fifth Amendment violation of due process, because Cody, over the last 2 years, has written the government on numerous occasions to try to get them to tell him what he can and cannot legally do. And needless to say, they keep putting him around a merry-go-round and basically have said to him, well, the guns are legal, but the plans are not. You can't share the plans with people on the internet. And as a result, we have filed suit in federal court. And, of course, we have an awful lot of tech people and people in tech media and new media industries who really don't care about guns so much, really upset about this because what the government is doing is they're basically saying that intellectual property, quote-unquote, you can't place it on the internet, as well as the government's basically claiming they actually now own this international property, not Cody, who developed it. So every code writer in the country, anybody who develops anything on the internet and places it on the internet, is worried about the government's overreach here, not just against Second Amendment rights, but First and Fifth Amendment rights as well.
All right. That's a great explanation, and it makes it a little bit clearer to me. Kevin, you were shaking your head. Your eyes got a little bit big. We have 30 seconds, and then we'll come back to the break. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I was listening to Sheriff David Clark talk about the Second Amendment is the only amendment that stops at state lines. Now we're looking at government overreach across the spectrum of the internet, what we can and can't say and what we can and can't we post out there. Mm-hmm. That really is kind of annoying. It's kind of alarming to me right now what Alan just explained.
Well, when you combine that, Alan, in particular with the fact that the left is always trying to shut us down, the tolerant left is only tolerant when they agree with what you have to say. We'll dig into this in just a few minutes when we come back from this break and talk a little bit about what kind of adverse effects or response we're going to see from the other side on this as we get attacked. We always do. Back right after this.
WWTC Minneapolis, St. Paul.
A service of Salem Communications.
In 2002, a National Sleep Foundation poll found that 63% of women experience symptoms of insomnia at least a few nights per week. In my opinion, a major reason for insomnia is the Blue Card. It's a shopping and loyalty card, and it's free. That's right, free. No charge, nada. Next, you can receive up to 5% cash back on purchases. Most cards only offer 2% at most. No wonder girls can't sleep. With the Blue Card, you can also get shopping points that you could use for online purchases. So it's cash back and shopping points. Am I keeping you awake? If you refer the Blue Card to someone, you could even earn money on their purchases. No, I'm serious. It's true. But it gets better. If you share the Blue Card with a merchant, you could earn on the purchases of everyone who uses the Blue Card at their store, too. There's no way you're going to get any sleep until you get your own free Blue Card. So call 800-685-7470 and order your free Blue Card so you can rest easy again. Call 800-685-7470.
Have you thought about your summer reading list? Well, here's an idea. For the month of May, the Christian Worldview is offering David Wheaton's books, My Boy Ben and University of Destruction, Your Game Plan for Spiritual Victory on Campus, for the lowest price of the year. My Boy Ben will inspire you to more deeply trust God in your trials as you read about David's journey with his yellow lab named Ben. And if you know a high school or college student, you'll want to read and give them University of Destruction so they can be prepared to overcome the spiritual obstacles on campus. Take advantage of this lowest price of the year offer, which matches Amazon's prices. Plus, you can get each book signed and personalized. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org or call toll-free 888-646-2233. Again, that's 888-646-2233. Or go to thechristianworldview.org.
Back to doing what I love and more.
When you're in pain, you need the Good Feet Store. Don't suffer from foot pain, sore ankles, tired legs, achy back and hips, or sore knees. Go to the Good Feet Store for your no-obligation custom fitting and immediately feel the difference. The Good Feet Arch Support System is designed to put your feet in an ideal position, redistribute body weight more evenly, and help relieve pain and stress. Now two locations, Maple Grove and Bloomington, with over 350 styles and sizes to relieve your pain.
Michael Medved here, and I love my Good Feet Arch Support System so much that I got my younger brother to get one too. The best gift to give is pain relief, right? So call 855-554-3338 and give the gift of comfort, balance, and support with a Good Feet Store gift certificate.
Call Good Feet at 855-554-3338 or better yet, visit the Good Feet Store in Maple Grove and Bloomington. Step in to pain relief.
Thanks to the Good Feet Store.
Be honest, did you buy your car because it's an award-winning industry leader with a rich heritage, gorgeous styling, and the best safety and tech features? Congratulations, you're probably driving one of our newly re-engineered 2015 Jeep or Chrysler vehicles right now. If you're not, stop into Park Chrysler Jeep and upgrade your auto in comfort with our no-hassle, no-haggle, transparent market pricing model. With the new 2015 Jeep Renegade, you get a class-exclusive crossover with trail-rated capabilities in a whimsically modern twist on timeless Jeep heritage. Is a sedan more your style? Let the redesigned 2015 Chrysler 200 prove what American engineering and technology can produce. Available in all-wheel drive for year-long reliability. Speaking of reliability, we have a fine selection of certified pre-owned vehicles as well. Used vehicle selections for every budget or credit rating. Visit us at parkchryslerjeep.com and just off 35W on Highway 13, Burnsville. American-made, locally owned, there's only one Park Chrysler Jeep.
Download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
This is Armed American Radio, filling your prescription for freedom every week and giving you a voice. Heard coast to coast on the Armed American Radio Network. Here again is Mark Walters.
Sean, are we live? I love when you
That's my bad.
That we kind of looked at each other and thought, "What in the world is he doing over there? He gets so busy." Hey, I want to tell you, you are loved by the fans, and that your laughter is contagious, and we appreciate that. Believe me, your reputation precedes you, so we need to start getting you to some of these events.
Well, thank you.
We need to have a Shanto fan page.
Yeah, in fact, there's a new button that some people recommended. We put a button together that I wear that says, "Yes, I'm Mark. Sean's not here." All right. So we're going to start doing that. All right, let me go to the New York Times. We still are awaiting Cody's call. We haven't heard from him. We did reach out to him, and we did leave a message. We're hoping he can get back to us. If not, not a problem. In the meantime, this piece is from the New York Times. Take a listen to what they said about this lawsuit. Cody's company is called Defense Distributed, and the New York Times says Defense Distributed believed and continues to believe that the United States Constitution guarantees a right to share truthful speech, especially speech concerning fundamental constitutional rights in open forums. Sounds good to me, right? Now, with a high-powered legal team behind it, Mr. Wilson's company, Defense Distributed, has filed suit against the State Department, claiming that its efforts to stop him from publishing his plans, which are no more than computer code, amount to a prior restraint on free speech. The 25-page suit filed on Wednesday in federal district court in Austin, Texas, is an innovative and apparently unprecedented effort to use the First Amendment in support of the second. Alan Gottlieb, welcome back to the program. The New York Times piece was fascinating. Usually when you hear New York Times, you think, okay. But this was actually a good piece. Your thoughts on what the New York Times had to say?
It was a very good piece, and in fact, we have not had a bad piece anywhere in the media. Everybody who wrote about this from all quadrants, both left, right, and center, so to speak, have all given us a lot of credit on this suit and realized the suit has an awful lot of merit and protects, you know, lots of the Bill of Rights, the First, the Second, and the Fifth Amendment. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we've gotten really great press, and the anti-gun movement in this country, you know, the Bloombergs of the world, the Everytowns, the Brady Center, we haven't heard a peep out of them all week, which surprised us a lot.
Yeah, that's actually fascinating. Take a listen to this from the Times. While this argument will be decided in court, some First Amendment experts said the lawsuit was a trailblazing foray into free speech law and at the least raised legitimate concerns. I can't think of anything quite analogous, said Floyd Abrams, a noted First Amendment lawyer. But on the face of it, it seems to me like a serious claim. And everything that I've read, and you sent me a ton of work on this, every piece that I looked at seemed positive. I'm not used to seeing that when the word gun is peppered somewhere, particularly 3D printable guns. That's where I thought the left would have come after us, particularly somebody like Schumer or anybody else. Why? Why?
Well, eventually I'm sure they will come after us. But one of the problems they have is, you know, a lot of the anti-gun people, left to center politicians in this country, get a lot of funding from Silicon Valley and other people in the tech business. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, the significant players in the tech field are very much in favor of this lawsuit. And so they've got this problem here. Do they aggravate some of their bigger donors by attacking Second Amendment rights when at the same time they're attacking First Amendment rights, or do they stay quiet? So I don't know, but I expect that we'll hear from them sooner or later.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I think what they're doing now, and you know a lot more than I do about this when it comes to the progression of the legalities of this and as this moves through civil courts and so forth, is that I believe they will wait to see over the course of the next month or two as this develops and try to find a way to artfully word whatever position they take on this. That's generally what they do. I understand we have Cody Wilson.
Yes.
We do have him, Sean?
Yes.
All right, great. Let's go right to Cody Wilson. Welcome to the program. Thanks for calling in, my friend. We're sitting here discussing your case and would like to get your thoughts on what's happening as this moves forward. We read about this 2 years ago. Now it's actually taking shape.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been a lot of humility and I should also say a bit of humiliation having to kind of go through all these ad hoc processes that the government would continuously put us through before we were ultimately able to exhaust a lot of their fake remedies and finally feel that we were able to challenge them.
All right, you've put a lot of money into this. Tell us about the product itself. When people hear printable 3D guns, the left goes, oh, it's a printable gun. Anybody can do this. It's not quite like that, is it?
Well, I would say it's both like that and not like it. I mean, the dirty secret behind 3D printed blueprints and other blueprints is that there's been a DIY gunsmithing craft for centuries, right? And enthusiasts mm-hmm. in the AR and the AK scene have been building their own guns and swapping recipes and blueprints for decades. So there's actually nothing mm-hmm. new to home built. It's just that it was presented to the left and on the East Coast and the West Coast in a really flamboyant and kind of new digital packaging with the advent of 3D printing, or I should say commercial 3D printing. So there's a bit of new, there's a bit of the old, and nothing necessarily qualitatively different, but we were able to package it in a way that suggested that the future was going to really rapidly enable really anyone to get into home-built manufacturing of firearms.
You're absolutely right about the AR and everything else. We had a lot of those manufacturers with us over this weekend. Kevin, go ahead.
We're talking a lot recently about the 80% AR lowers mm-hmm. that people are making and then finishing out and machining them themselves. I think that's the concern coming from the left is, oh no, suddenly we can't track all of these guns that people are going to be making on their 3D printers all over the place. And so what? You know, they're our guns. Let us have them.
Thanks a lot. They've tried to focus group a new type of language to support, right. Like, you know, the how terrible they find the scenario to be. They've come up with ghost gun now. It's kind of a scenario where any gun that's not already recognized by authority is somehow, you know, a moral violation or an ethical violation. And all guns must first be serialized by some authority figure before you're allowed to kind of bring them into existence. Mm. That's laughable. But, of course, it's still the bureaucratic imagination. And California got pretty close to making homemade a completely registered activity. Thankfully, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, the whole thing fascinates me, quite honestly. Alan, what we're going to wind up seeing, you know we're going to wind up seeing this, we're going to wind up hearing that this finally is going to be their dream gun that can get through, anybody can get it on an airplane, anybody can get it through any security. This, they're going to demonize Cody. Are we afraid of that, that they're going to actually go after him and demonize him personally and his company and the gun itself?
Well, I think people like Senator Schumer have already done that in the past. Mm-hmm. I expect to see them do it in the future. But, you know, the fact is we already have laws against undetectable guns going through metal detectors. So those laws are already in place. This doesn't really do anything with that. But what this does do is allows you to make a gun at home that the government doesn't know you've got and sort of blows a hole right
now. Wait a minute.
Gun control.
Maybe that could be it. Cody, could that actually be it, that the government doesn't have their fingerprint on this thing?
I think you've located the problem exactly and eloquently. Defense Distributed, my company, has tried to address this problem as well. I mean, our current product on offer, and I know you've defined our printable guns as a product. I wouldn't use that language exactly. I know you don't mean anything by it, but we never actually issued any of our printable gun concepts for sale. They were mostly demonstration pieces meant to kind of offer a symbolic picture of what we thought the future of firearms manufacturing was, a kind of signal to the public. We thought the future was homemade, the future was decentralized manufacture, but as we have it now, we actually do have a product that is catered and meant to be marketed directly to the AR-15 market, where these people can finish their lower receivers, their 80% lower receivers, relatively automatically with a little machine we call the Ghost Gunner. And it's meant to kind of assist and also propel this rhetoric, which is that it is not wrong to promote this lawful activity of private manufacture of semi-automatic weapons.
Right. Right. Right on the money. Hey, Cody, I want to thank you for calling in. We're coming to the end of the segment, so we appreciate that. I know we're just the time. It gets us every time. And I'm looking forward to bringing you back on and following this case as it moves through the courts. Alan Gottlieb, thank you very much. Do people, what do we need to tell people as we move forward with this? We've got about 10 seconds.
Well, just go to saf.org, and you'll get constant updates on Cody's lawsuit.
Great. Alan Gottlieb, great founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. Alan, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Cody, thanks for calling in. You're listening to the Armed American Radio Network live, the Crossbreed Holster Studios in West Bend, Wisconsin. We'll be back right after this.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
Beginning this year, Magnum Research Incorporated, a car arms-owned company, is proud to bring the Baby Desert Eagle 2 back to the U.S. market. The Baby Desert Eagle 2 offers a double-action, single-action trigger and plenty of firepower. Available in 9mm, 40 S&W, and 45 ACP, several barrel lengths, and either steel or polymer frame, the Baby Desert Eagle 2 is an exceptional handgun value. For more information, visit MagnumResearch.com today. That's MagnumResearch.com.
The North American Arms 32 NAA Guardian Pistol, designed in partnership with Convor Ammunition. The 32 NAA fires a cartridge based on the 380 case, but necked down to hold the smaller 32 bullet. The result is a remarkable gain in ballistic performance that produces more velocity, energy, and stopping power than any conventional 32 ACP, 380 ACP, or 380 ACP plus P. The 32 NAA from North American Arms. For more information, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
One of the few guns that fits comfortably in your pocket, the North American Arms Guardian 32 ACP is the perfect combination of small size, high quality, and great stopping power. Convenient, reliable, and very effective. North American Arms stands behind the Guardian 32 ACP with a lifetime warranty. With standard capacity of 6+1 rounds in a pistol less than 4 inches in length, the Guardian ACP ships with 2 magazines and offers an optional 10-round capacity extended magazine. For more information, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com. small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WaltherArms.com. Introducing Emerson Knives, American made, American owned, down to the last screw. Emerson Knives is the only knife company owned by one of the world's leading authorities on hand-to-hand combat, Ernest Emerson. From the windswept plains of Afghanistan and the back alleys of Baghdad to the halls of the Pentagon, Emerson Knives are on patrol and protecting those who willfully go into harm's way. For the world's leading tactical blades, visit Emerson Knives at EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The classic design of the Magnum Research Desert Eagle pistol is back. Manufactured by IWI, Israel Weapons Industries, and designed to exacting Israeli military toughness and reliability specs, the Magnum Research Desert Eagle pistols are in a class all their own. These world-famous semi-automatic pistols are available in .44 Magnum or .50 AE calibers. Magnum Research is a Carr Arms company. To find a dealer near you, please visit Carr Arms at Carr.com. That's K-A-H-R.com.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
Can't push that organization enough. The Second Amendment Foundation is doing unbelievable work, Kevin. They have where the government can't get their fingers on what they want, and that's Cody's product. Mm-hmm. They'll demonize the printer. Mm-hmm. We've seen that already over the last few years. The inception of that printer, as it's begun to become more affordable, has been immediately associated with guns.
Yeah. What can we do to get hold of that? And first thing, demonize the language.
Yeah.
It's a ghost gun. It's a secret. It's scary. Sure. We can't look at that. And once they can't get that, now are we all going to have to register our 3D printers because we might be able to create guns with our 3D printers?
You can absolutely 100% count on that in the future. And it's why the Second Amendment Foundation lawsuit is so important. They do a lot of research. I know Alan, I know the organization. They do an awful lot of research before they decide to take a case. I know Alan gets, they see cases, prospective cases coming at them all day, every day by the hundreds. And they have to be very selective. These are incredibly expensive to push forward.
Yeah, and it's so important to have a group like that out there. We need to support them every chance we can.
Yeah, so saf.org, saf.org, $5, $10, $15, $25. I think a lifetime membership is only like $125. So join this organization and help fund these lawsuits. These are the lawsuits that protect not only our right to bear arms, but also the attacks against our right to free speech, which are occurring on a regular basis by the tolerant left. And Sean, this is the brilliance of Alan Gottlieb and the Second Amendment Foundation in this case.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Is tying those two together, finding the case that tied the First Amendment with the Second.
Very much so.
And it's very important.
Anybody in the media, whether you web-based or
you better watch that trans thing. I don't know where you're going with that. You're going to slip.
No, regular TV, radio, anybody in the media, definitely.
Terrestrial.
Terrestrial, exactly.
Okay, I don't want to know why you were stuck on tran. We'll go there later.
Well, you're right. What will they silence next?
Yeah, exactly.
Big question.
That's exactly right. And Alan knows, as we all know, and as you know, that's why you listen to Armed American Radio, that when they are successful coming after your firearms, when they are successful coming after your speech, if they can take both of them from you, you lose everything. And I think, and that's our ultimate goal.
I think this really will push the media to stop and think about what we've been saying for years and years is they're taking guns one piece at a time. One piece at a time. We'll go after them a little bit at a time. And we keep asking, well, what will they take next? If we give them one thing, what will they take next from the firearms law? Well, if we give them one piece of free speech and we give that up, what will they take next? How long will it be before we can't talk about things?
Absolutely correct. It's very scary. Let's talk about this program and programs like this. Well, there are no other programs like this. There are wannabes.
Absolutely. Well put, Mark.
I'm going to get emails on that one. I can smell that coming. You know what? You don't have to email in today's day. Tweet me right now at AARMARK, at AARMARK. We'll read you on the air. We're just funning, but there's a lot of podcasts out there. There are great radio shows. Tom Gresham's Gun Talk's been on for 20, in his 21st year now. You don't think the enemies of freedom wanted to silence Tom Gresham, the Rush Limbaugh of this genre of radio, 21 years ago?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You don't think they want to shut him? And then something like us comes along? You don't think they would like to shut us down? We're heard in hundreds of cities across the country right now, today. Wherever you are listening, we are in hundreds of more cities in various formats.
And you know
we're
what?
On cable. We're on digital talk. We're on 150-plus radio stations. Apple TV just added us. I don't know what that means. I'm assuming it can't be bad.
People get to listen live on the Internet now.
They can listen on live streaming. The government would love to shut this conversation down. But they're not going to be, because we're going to be those whack-a-moles.
Yeah.
Popping right back up. Popping right back up. We're not going away. And it's groups like Alan Gottlieb's Second Amendment Foundation that are really, they're the mole. They're the ones that are creating the next thing. You come at us here, we're going to pop up here. We're not going away, and the left needs to understand that. Sean, you wanted to say something?
And I urge any radio producer, especially conservative radio producer, to look at this and get this out to their listeners as well, because, again, it's all about speech as well as the Second Amendment. And we all know that they've tried to shut conservative media down for years.
Well, there's still fresh talk about it with the...
Exactly.
The fairness doctrine?
They're
totally unsuccessful on talk radio. They do not have an audience.
Yeah.
Right? The only way they can get their point across is to lie. Their agenda is based on lies. We've proven that time after time after time on this show. So we have fun with them. That's part of the reason people say, well, how come you don't have the other side? Why do I want them on this show?
They don't make any sense.
Well, it's not really just that. There's more to it than that. That is the underlying premise. But really what this is our time. They get so much press and attention anyway from a biased, progressive, liberal propaganda machine masquerading as journalism.
Exactly.
They get it all day long. This time belongs to us. You want to shut me up? Come shut me up. Come and take it, pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's good. So please visit saf.org, saf.org. Now, Kevin, I want to go back to that first segment when we open up the show. We're not going to have time in the second hour because we've got some great guests coming on who were here in Wisconsin experiencing the first concealed carry expo.
The grandeur that is.
Yeah, I'm telling you, what an unbelievable event that was. And if you carry a concealed weapon, if you're considering carrying a concealed weapon, you're going to be fascinated by what you hear. And quite frankly, by what you missed. So we're going to try to coax you to come to the next one. But back to that first segment. What do you think? You are an active duty law enforcement officer. You ride the patrol cars. You make the traffic stops. What goes through your head when you hear Prince defending a thug?
It's absolutely sickening, just like you said before. We can't convince people. We can't get the story out in the media that the number of law enforcement deaths at the hands of law enforcement officers is incredibly minuscule compared to the number of daily interactions with law enforcement officers.
Yep.
And, you know, where is due process, I mean, when it comes to law enforcement officers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, I truly believe that the things that happened in Baltimore need to be investigated.
Sure, of course.
But let them be investigated. If someone shoots a police officer and kills that police officer and then goes on trial for it, we are reminded all the time, there should be no rush to judgment.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have a due process system here. We have to investigate completely from end to end, and nothing is said.
But here's what frightens me with the limited time we have. Due process to the left means arrest him, charge him.
And throw him in jail.
Investigate.
Throw him in jail, then investigate,
yeah.
And then let a jury decide. And if we don't like what the jury decides, we will riot and claim no justice, no peace. Yep. That's not investigation.
Well, the riots always come before even any of the investigation begins.
The two words you hit right on the money, and that's due process.
Right.
The investigation needs to be completed first. That's what upset everybody on the left.
Mm-hmm.
When it came to the George Zimmerman case.
Oh, and when it came to Darren Wilson down in Ferguson.
Darren Wilson and Ferguson and everybody else, and then they get upset when they don't get what they want. They wah, yeah. Like little pigtail going home and get his roast beef or whatever.
Zimmerman was the most investigated case in the history of Florida.
George Zimmerman should never have been prosecuted to begin with. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. I am here in West Bend at the United States Concealed Carry Association's World Headquarters for the USCCA's CCW Expo. I close every hour with this, and I'll close it with you right now. Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Why would you want to be that unarmed caveman? Not a smart thing to do. There are dinosaurs out there. We'll be back.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.